Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Well, that was a delightful screw-up on my part. My apologies. I forgot the third switch and let Dr. Bill's program roll. I was sitting there listening, didn't get any emails or anything, and didn't realize I still had yesterday's rerun running with it, too. Damn it. Someday I'll have keepers. It's 2.5 minutes past the hour. And that was a dandy good broadcast from Dr. Bill, too.
Yeah.
Black stagging. Oh, well. Will not profit. Will not profit. Will not profit. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. That's where you'll find entry to the chat room, which is already beginning to fill up. Well, it never really gets full. It can take as many of you as want to wander on by and chat for a while. You'll also find the Listen Live button at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. And, very kindly, you will find the PayPal button there. And the National Overland Hill address, which is the Horn 03 Beckley, BECKLEYWV 25801. Remember, checks and money orders should not be made payable to Bob Kincaid, as I don't touch them. Instead, they go to... boss man, lane handles, that kind of thing. So make them payable to Head On Communications or The Horn or something like that. Okie dokie. And thanks, many thanks to, one, thanks to Betsy, who finished us up last night with fundraising and helped us finish off meeting both Max's challenge from Friday and Shirley's Wisconsin challenge from last night. Thank you very much, Betsy. And we find ourselves today with a fundraising goal of $125 because William stepped in and took care of $25 of it. Thank you very, very much, William. All of us appreciate it. So we need 12 folks or a little, well, let's call it 13 folks at $10 a piece this evening or some permutation thereof in order to keep up with fundraising for the month of December. It is Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. Titanic Tuesday, of course, dedicated to those titanic intellects of the right wing who provide us with so much to talk about. They do. They do. We're grateful. Oh, and there is stuff to talk about. The Ted Cruz coloring book for children. You've seen it by now, haven't you? If you haven't, don't. Unless you've got this thing for sudden onset projectile vomit nausea. Ted's Cruise to the Future. Hey, cool. Right? No, really. There's a Ted Cruise coloring book. Whoop. Yeah. Now, but I just got this from Shorty in L.A., and it is an urgent, given the season and everything, I think this fits. It is an urgent message from Santa.
Dear children, regrettably, I bring bad tidings. For some time now, melting ice here, the North Pole has made our operations and our day-to-day life intolerable and impossible. And there may be no alternative but to cancel Christmas. I have written personally to President Obama, President Putin, all world leaders. Sadly, my letters have been met with a difference. Needless to say, these individuals are now at the top of my naughty list. My home in the Arctic is fast disappearing, and unless we all act urgently, then I have to warn you of the possibility of an empty stocking forevermore. Please help me.
God, wouldn't you love her, Godzilla from Wasilla to see that? She'd have an aneurysm. Which is a pretty lovely idea all by itself. A brilliantly done piece by Greenpeace UK, pointing out, of course, in a very real, or really mythologically real, fashion, what's going on in the Arctic. Most of us can't know for certain because it's not an easy trip, but we can see, you know, we can see the attenuated results of Arctic melting. And you didn't get the video angle of it, but Santa was looking pretty rough, and he was down in some basement bunker. You could hear the water dripping. The electricity was intermittent. Yeah. That was a good little tiny piece of theater there. And I ran it right off the bat for this Titanic Tuesday, simply because it dovetails with something we were talking about here just last week, and something that has occurred in within the realm of the daily news cycle. Just last week, I had mentioned the issue relating to the melting of the Arctic and the furious scramble it was going to engender to go and drill there, because you see that's why we're melting the planet, to go and drill for more stuff that we use to melt the planet. Funny how that works. But yay, verily, lo and behold, what was it today? Yesterday, that Stephen Harper, the Premier of Canada, declared that Canada would assert its sovereign rights to own the North Pole. Because we need to drill there. You ever get the idea that they're convinced that this little blue-green marble time machine hurtling through the universe is nothing but a carrier for hydrocarbons? Because suddenly it seems like anywhere that they set their sights, we got to go there because there's oil. What? Bituminous sludge from Canada? Well, sure, we'll build a superheated pipeline to carry it down to the Gulf of Mexico, driving up gas prices through the Midwest, and standing where you see Shanghai any. Coughlin, too. Yes, the geniuses of the hydrocarbon industry have turned Shanghai, China, into London, circa 1860. You can't see 2 feet in front of your face in Shanghai and some other cities of China because of the airborne pollution. Pollution. What a word. That sounds like, somebody toilet papered the trees and they polluted the trees. No. Because of the airborne human-killing toxins of the hydrocarbon industry. Thanks, guys! Okay, that's Prime Minister. I thought a Premier and a Prime Minister were the same creature. Asa telling me that's Prime Minister, Bob, not Premier. And I would wager that my elected official is dimmer than yours. Yeah, Harper's sort of like a Bush in a sort of offset situation. Well, but you know, Asa, he's gonna take the Arctic for you guys. Harper of the Arctic. Harper of the far Yukon. Charming, isn't it? We've got a Northwest Passage now. Poor old Cabot and Henry Hudson and Prince Henry the Navigator just a little too early to the party, weren't they? But that's okay. Part of the age of exploration is how we wound up having all these hydrocarbons floating around in the atmosphere. I feel a little bit ahead of the curve, though, because, among other things, I saw something on my... Oh, by the way, this from Joshua over on Facebook. Just a horrible sight today, he says. Obama in the presence of a war criminal who tortured and falsely imprisoned hundreds in Cuba. But enough about Bush. Kind of cool that Obama shook hands with Castro. Well, maybe cool to you, Joshua. But it's damn sure not cool to the people who really, really matter. And by people who really matter, I mean grumpy John Bomber McCain. For some reason known but to God, Public Radio International's Todd Zwillich interviewed Bomber John in Washington, D.C., following the visual of that one, as he termed it, in our White House, shaking hands with Raul Castro. The audio is simply precious.
Senator, what do you make of the handshake between the president and Raul Castro in South Africa today?
Yeah, it just gives Raul some propaganda to continue to prop up his dictatorial, brutal regime. That's all.
Should he not have done it?
Of course not. Why should you shake hands with somebody who's keeping Americans in prison? I mean, what's the point? Neville Chamberlain shook hands with Hitler.
Well, isn't that lovely? That's what, 2, 3 Neville Chamberlain references for that one in our White House inside of 2 weeks? 2 at least. So, to be clear, according to John McCain, whose claim to fame was dropping heavy ordnance on innocent civilians, according to him, the President of the United States, who is in charge of making foreign policy, not John McCain, and he's still a little pissed about that, his shaking hands with Raul Castro, little brother of Fidel, is on exactly the same moral and ethical ground as Neville Chamberlain shaking hands with Hitler and giving away Czechoslovakia so that the Second World War could really get moving in earnest. I'm getting a mite tired of the Hitler business. But then again, it was long ago that Lewis Black said that the Republican Party suffers from Hitler Tourette's. But it's not just that. No, here on this Titanic Tuesday, we have an opportunity for me to further burnish my geezer cred. What do I mean by that? I mean by that I have no freaking idea who Tia Tequila is. So I checked in with Ferg, my go-to guy for all things pop culture. He said, oh, Dad, she's an idiot. And not very talented into the bargain. Well, now she's gone full Hitler. She's changed her name. She is no longer Tia Tequila. She's renamed herself Hitlia. Hitila. Hitila. That's it. Hitila. No, really. And there is now some sort of photoshopped thing of her in a shiny silver halter knotted between her breasts and an itsy bitsy matching mini skirt and some high heels of some sort, posing while wearing a swastika armband and an SS death's head cap, while holding what looks to be a 1911 Colt revolver and not the standard Nazi issue 9mm Luger. But she is standing astride railroad tracks that lead, no, I'm not kidding, to the entrance to Auschwitz. And the sun is breaking behind her back, breaking through clouds and illuminating her and shining down on the death camp. Really? And in this context, she is promoting some sort of new, and I listen to it, and while I will subject you to any number of revolting audio, I draw a line here, because this is just awful. And I'm not talking about awful in the way that my dad would look at me and, I can't understand what any of those people you listen to are singing. That's not music. No. It's just... Ugh. It's apparently her and a really, really old drum machine. But I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't know why. I don't know why John McCain has to go all Hitler on a handshake at a funeral. This was not after a negotiation over getting after negotiating a deal to avert war. This is something that happened at a funeral. And the right wing is hopping mad. They're sure that Kenyan Muslim anti-colonialist socialist with a deep-seated hatred of white people is getting ready to impose Castro-style communism on all of us. Which apparently includes John McCain thinking that, if what happens between the ears of John McCain may fairly be referred to as thinking. Okay, a little help from Luda here. I say that, but Tia Tequila, I say that, but I'm almost positive Tia Tequila is mixed race Asian. Would she even be allowed to be a Nazi? And that is rather of an open question, because in an exercise of real spunky, go-get-it journalistic humor, Tony Ortega over at Raw Story took a wander over to Stormfront. You know what Stormfront is. Yeah, that's the go-to website for all things modern neo-Nazi. It's a real charming place. And Mr. Ortega brings us back some quotes from Stormfront regarding Hitila. It's insulting to Adolf Hitler to have that promiscuous, degenerate mongrel defending him. She makes me want to vomit. The sad part is this. No one will listen to her. I congratulate her for finding the truth.
Brave woman to throw her career away for truth. Jew Hollywood and media will never hire her again. Had they ever hired her before? Very, very strange. Her entry almost seems copied and pasted from this website. I wonder if she wasn't somehow, either overtly or covertly, to promulgate this information in an attempt to discredit it. I, for one, am quite skeptical. I'll bet you are. She sounds perfectly lucid to me. She's not a truther. She's a plant. We need more people like her spreading this type of message. As long as she does not preach racial mixing, has no kids, and eventually commits suicide, it's all good.
She's got 2 million followers. People will listen to her. The Zionist veneer is finally crumbling.
Oh, Nazis. I posted a supportive comment on the page. I think we all should, to show her that she is not alone in her beliefs. God damn, this reminds me of back when Henry Gibson played the Nazi in what, the Blues Brothers movie? Ever seen a bigger bunch of idiotic... Right. Hitila. Sure. Why not? Because, well, the stupid. Like I said, Titanic Tuesday always brings with it such an absolute wealth of this kind of genius. Did you catch the story, did you? All about how the National Security Agency had a campaign to infiltrate World of Warcraft. Really? Not a joke. Your tax dollars at work. No, they really, really did. The Associated Press reporting yesterday or so. Reporting that the geniuses probably and see we have to understand this not as an as a function of the NSA as such, but a function of the fact that the NSA is wholly captive to outfits like Booz Allen Hamilton, whose only purpose in life is to sit around coming up with cockamamie bullshit paranoid fantasies to go and sell to the NSA, who in turn sells it to a paranoid Congress, who in turn says, wait, we're supposed to be about less government. But not over here. Give them another billion, boys. The Associated Press reporting, American and British intelligence operations have been spying on gamers across the world. Media outlets reported saying that the world's most powerful espionage agencies sent... And how do you write this without the URL immediately redirecting to the effing Onion? Sent undercover agents into virtual universes to monitor activity in online fantasy games such as World of Warcraft. The New York Times, The Guardian, and ProPublica all said U.S. and U.K. spies have spent years, that's years, trawling online games for terrorists or informants. So just be careful. You never know. That level 7 demiurge, yeah, that could be some $100,000 a year Edward Snowden wannabe, or maybe they think it's an Afghan terrorist who wants to reduce your local Walmart to a heap of smoke and rubble. Wolverines! They also infiltrated Second Life. and Halo. Because somebody at Booz Allen Hamilton decided to tell the NSA, who decided to tell the Congress, who decided, these online gaming universes are a perfect place for the terrorists to hide. So there you are, covered in Cheetos dust, you put on 62 pounds in your mom's basement, you're playing World of Warcraft. And it turns out the whole time you're a spy. Well, we should be able to figure out who I'll bet you the other NSA employees can figure out who the... But then again, this is work that's probably being farmed out to Booz Allen Hamilton anyway. But I'll bet you the other boozers can figure out which ones have been on the spying on what World of Warcraft. Because really, they come to work, they smell like Cheetos, and they put on 62 pounds in 3 months because they left. But here's the funny part. Once they got that dodge going, I'm sure the boys at Booz Allen Hamilton then turned around and said, guys, we're going to have to have a little bit more money. We've got to come up with a counterintelligence program. Because we think that some of our spies are spying on each other. They're doing such a good job being spies and saying things like death to America that we've got them chasing each other now. So we need two more layers of security to make sure we know who we're spying on. That's only another $1 billion, okay? Thanks. Great. And yes, casting that spell of sun energy blast heat at your enemy, that the NSA has determined could be advanced simulated weapons training for Al Qaeda. If I opened the microphone and just started saying this without any sources, or you wouldn't believe me in a million years. Oh, come on, Bob! No, they do it. Blizzard Entertainment said, we are unaware of any surveillance taking place. If it was, it would have been done without our knowledge or our permission. Please, please keep paying and keep paying and just... Right. Play on. At the request of the UK's GCHQ, the NSA began extracting World of Warcraft data from its global intelligence hall, trying to tie specific accounts and characters to Islamic extremism and arms dealing efforts. The paranoid freaks at the NSA say that intelligence on the fantasy world could eventually translate to real-world espionage success. World of Warcraft subscribers included telecom engineers, embassy drivers, scientists, the military, and other intelligence agencies. They were also able to successfully enter discussions on... It's just us, right? Xbox Live. Oh, that special unit that probably cost the extra $1 billion, that was a deconfliction unit. God, that sounds like something that happens to you at a dermatologist's office. The stupid is strong with these ones. What is this? Really? I do. I really want to know how many millions of... Wouldn't it be nice if we had somebody in the Congress who would say, I demand to know how many millions of dollars we have paid pimply-faced NSAers to play World of Warcraft. then again, it may not have been full NSA staffers because of the other story that broke, namely that the NSA is recruiting children as young as 15 for paid internships at the NSA. They're looking for interns who want, quote, to be granted a security clearance, earn a competitive salary, and subsidized housing at Fort Meade, Maryland. The job of the interns will be to promote accurate and timely information on the NSA's missions and accomplishments. Level 47 dwarf! That's an accomplishment. Neutral evil! They've got a high school work-study program, the NSA does. One former high school intern said, the job was way exciting. I had access to a whole universe of, World of Warcraft, of fascinating real-time information from around the globe, and the agency provides great resources for advancing one's self. Another person said, all of the technology is very nice. Parking, however, is an issue. Marty wants to know, now will the program be expanded to the FBI, who will monitor the playing of Grand Theft Auto? Well, those simulations could be used for real-time gang world activity. Marty also notes that it is a great way to find an excuse to play World of Warcraft. He says, I've always preferred StarCraft myself. Sadly, I know nothing about neither one. The last two games that I really got wrapped up in were... it was a first-person shooter, Tom Clancy... it wasn't Splinter Cell, but it was years ago. And then I also got wrapped up in DOA Extreme Beach Volleyball. Yes, I'm ashamed. Okay, Dr. John has the answer. Those NSA online game spies, they're totally those dickbags who buy items only to resell them for one credit more. Taking down the deficit, right, Dr. John? That's probably what do we call it? What's the MBA word for it? That's a value added component with real growth potential. Oh, I need a hobby. There I go. I'm sitting around reading books. M50, feel 90. Books? What are these books you keep speaking of, Bob? I know. But Lord, doesn't that give you a sense? I had a note from Patrick over in Germany saying, you know, last night was just awesome. I don't even know if we did last night credit. There is that much loopy in the world. Oh, sorry, Marty, could you repeat what Dr. John said? I got hit with a bit of buffering just as you started reading. Okay, Marty, we are a full-service radio network here. Dr. John said... Those NSA online game spies are totally those dickbags who buy items only to resell them for one credit more. Kleptocrat gamers, who knew? I remember when we thought about creating a Second Life listening room. I don't think we could have pulled it off. It, just too much stuff. So we really are kind of up to our chins in the stupid this evening. I mean, we started out with a little war on Christmas. And, you know, the war on Christmas Central is, of course, Radio Rwanda. Any opportunity to hear Gretchen Carlson have a hissy, I always think of the big guy's mother from WKRP, Mother Carlson. They had another one of their... And, you know, okay, do I understand why anybody would go on there? No, I don't think so. But their faith panel consisted of Catholic League psychopath Bill Donahue and an otherwise normal human being from American Atheist by the name of David Silverman and a rabbi whose name they don't give in the text here. Gretchen Carlson got it all going.
Temple member says the state government brought this upon itself because putting up the Ten Commandments in the first place makes a religious statement. Our faith panel weighing in now, Bill Donahue, the president of the Catholic League, David Silverman, the president of American Atheists, and Rabbi Shmuley Boteach. I hope I got that right. Founder of This World, the Values Network. All right, because you have the toughest name, starting with you, Rabbi, today. All right, you kidding me now? Are we making a mockery of everything with regard to Christianity in this society? Now we're going to have...
Oh, she's outraged, isn't she? Dear me.
A satanic monument next to the Ten Commandments, really?
Well, if they can find one satanic worshiper among the Founding Fathers, maybe Benedict Arnold and Aaron Burr, perhaps, then that...
Oh, Aaron Burr and Benedict Arnold. One, Rabbi Shmuley Boteach. I'll warrant you don't know enough about Aaron Burr to finish a sentence about... Well, his name was Aaron and his last name was Burr. Okay, that's as far as it goes. But you'll know it's they're the bad guys. Those would be your Satanists. How about the people who just didn't think Satan was real or... how about those? Because there were some of those, but never mind.
We can be traced back to some American heritage, but let's be absolutely emphatic. This is ridiculous. It's not just that it's a mockery. It actually demeans America. America is exceptional because of its values. Now we're going to start worshiping Satan. What are we going to do, slaughter goats and drink their blood in public?
Wait, you might want to rethink that. Bill Donahue's down at the other end of the table, buddy. He does ritual blood drinking probably 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times a week. And ritual flesh eating, too, so. You know, don't open the divide any further than it already is, Rabbi.
The United States worships God. It just doesn't impose the worship of God, and that's the beauty of it. Separation of church and...
Wow, the United States worships God. How does a political entity worship anything? I would have thought that the people of the United States worshiped something. Several somethings, various and sundry gods. Some more gods than others. Some people mark feast days of saints and whatnot, but no, according to the rabbi here, the United States worships God. If you get to the archives early, you can see the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence there, just kind of curled up in a sort of kneeling pose as it worships God.
State does not mean that we purge the public sphere of God. It means that we don't force God on people.
And David, you've got to...
And of course, cramming God into the public sphere, especially with public monies, is forcing religion on people. But, well, Rabbi Shmuley Boteach kind of blew right past that, didn't he?
agree with the rabbi, do you not, that this is absolutely a mockery and ridiculous?
Absolutely, not mockery, not ridiculous. The separation of church and state is what makes America great. Religious freedom means the government doesn't take sides, one religion or another. You may not like the Satanists, guess what? That doesn't matter.
Do you?
Everybody is equal.
Do you?
I don't care. All religions
so
are the same
to me. So you think it's perfectly fine to put a satanic, yep, whatever message they're going to have up there, and
it's
an interactive display for children, by the way.
It's not okay to put any of it up there, but it is more not okay to favor one over another.
The only reasonable answer offered. It's not okay to put any of it up there. But if you're going to put up one, you got to put up everything. It's kind of like last night with the Pastafarian with the ridiculous colander headgear. Either everybody's silly headgear gets allowed, or nobody's silly headgear gets allowed.
How crazy is this?
I mean, what? You believe in an invisible man in the sky, too. You call him Satan, you call him God.
Whatever it is I believe in, that doesn't teach me to perpetrate genocide, slaughter people, or I get into their version of heaven by killing people.
They're not saying that. They're putting up a happy display. You don't know what it is.
It's almost like they went to the craziest group they could find. No offense.
No, well, none taken, Gretch.
To find somebody to go up against the Ten Commandments. I mean, is this how PC we've gotten in our society?
Oh, it's PC. Okay. That's what it is. It's PC. Has nothing to do with the idea that government shall not establish. No. It has nothing to do with the Establishment Clause. But let's see. Let's see what PC means to Gretch. To Gretch. That's a damned interesting infinitive.
Really?
Well, it's also how evil we've gotten. I mean, the fact of the matter is the Ten Commandments is an historic...
Oh, this is your Bill Donahue. Yeah, he's still pissed off because of the chocolate Jesus that had the chocolate Venus that wasn't covered up by a white chocolate loincloth.
Monument to our Judeo-Christian heritage. We are not based on Satanism in this country. Now, if they want to have their little monument, the First Amendment is conditioned on time, place, and manner. It's the wrong time, it's the wrong place.
What's the right time and the right place?
Maybe in July sometime, I don't know, but certainly not at this time of the year.
Do you have to worry about your holidays?
No, quite frankly.
No, okay, so since when is the Ten Commandments a traditional Christmas holiday? I'm just asking. Yeah, me either.
This country was not based on Satan. Now you may be mistaken on that. I mean,
I don't know. You know, you can look at the genocide of the native peoples. You can look at slavery. You can look at the Civil War, and you can make an argument that this country's had a pretty close involvement with Old Nick for quite some time now. Hi, do you have a moment for me to tell you about Cthulhu and his plan for your life? Hi. Irish Dave wanted to know at the beginning of the clip, what is this, baseball? A rabbi to be named later? Yeah. Marty noting, amazing how the mind of Plainsworth works, isn't it? Nothing but amazing. And this goes on and on and on. So they waste a good several minutes yammering on about the Ten Commandments monument and how it's the wrong time and the wrong place for a satanic monument right next to it. Come on, everybody, get in the game. Come on, Rabbi Shmuley, I'm sure that's not the right version of the Ten Commandments, because aren't there several? Let's get another one up there. In sort of Rosetta Stone, side-by-side Hebrew, English, Aramaic, Greek, Roman, and wait, Hindus, damn it, where are you? I personally kind of like Ganesh. And I think the Oklahoma State House law needs a great damn big concrete elephant on it. You know, with garlands and beads and incense and yeah, sure. And why can't we have a compassionate Buddha sitting maybe in the shade of the Ten Commandments? Of course, you know how I am. I don't think any religious display on government grounds is really complete unless you've got maybe a manifestation of the Mexican war god Huitzilopochtli. Or maybe his mama called Likue. Could we? Why not? Well, I'll tell you why not. Because the boys in Oklahoma, Stan, have an answer for that. There will be no satanic monument on the grounds of the Oklahoma State House because, and I'm not kidding, one lawmaker has said Oklahoma is a faith-based state. No, really. President Brian Bingaman, Repig Licken from Sepulpa, told the Tulsa World, "I think it's a joke." This is, and then Earl Sears of Bartlesville, Oklahoma, Stan, said, "This is a faith-based nation and a faith-based state. I think it's very offensive they would contemplate or even have this kind of conversation." You see, representing Earl has a list of conversations he doesn't think people should have. Because, well, the First Amendment is, after all, nothing more than a, everybody can say it now, life support system for the religion industry. Free speech? Sorry. And then, of course, there is Dwayne Mass of the Oklahoma Stand Capital Preservation Society said, "That's Oklahoma's house. It's not the Satanic Club of New York's house." They really are completely unenlightened and totally unself-actualized, aren't they? They don't get how funny they are when they say this sort of, "Well, it's a faith-based state." Well, that's great, because the Satanic Club of New York has faith in Satan. It will, but this thing will not be complete until there is a Flying Spaghetti Monster monument. But that reminds me, it wasn't all, you know, the faith discussion that's got a rabid Catholic and apparently a rabid sort of right-wing rabbi, and in the middle of them, a guy who doesn't believe in any of their horse shit. Well, they left the satanic monument in Oklahoma, Stan, because, well, the Gretch got upset. It's not far from Grinch, is it? No.
But to be reduced to Satan worship, is no lower than any other religion. Satanism may wish it were, but Satanism is lower than Catholicism. It's no lower than Judaism.
As an atheist,
you guys both have religions that do real bad things.
Hard to believe there's an even crazier topic out there. Remember this classic Seinfeld moment?
Hey, Christmas ago, I went to buy a doll for my son. I reached for the last one they had, but so did another man. As I rained blows upon him, I realized there had to be another way. What happened to the dog? It was destroyed. But out of that, a new holiday was born. A Festivus for the rest of us.
Oh, please. That's the classic episode. I mean, the episode was funny, but not Festivus. Explaining the origin of the fake holiday. Fake holiday. Festivus. But now...
Oh, it's a fake holiday. Because the Gretch... Oh, the Gretch just stole Festivus.
A nearly 6-foot-tall Festivus pole made from empty beer cans about to go up at the Florida State Capitol. I'm not kidding. It's part of a not-so-subtle protest against the nativity scene already on display there. Bill, I am so outraged by this. Why do I have to drive around with my kids to look for nativity scenes?
Do you in Tallahassee, you blithering idiot? Is this coming to us live from Tallahassee? She did say Florida State House, didn't she? Bill, I am outraged. And you can tell she is. The Gretch is outraged. In America, when the Gretch is outraged, well, she'll let you know.
And be like, oh yeah, kids, look, there's baby Jesus behind the Festivus pole made out of beer cans. It's nuts.
Remember a couple of years ago we had a Supreme Court decision that said the gays in their own contingent could not march in the St. Patrick's Day parade. Okay, leaving aside the private sector.
Wait, stop. Huh? Stay on topic, Bill. Somebody get him his Aricept supplement. He just went from Festivus pole to what? To gays marching it. They're taking all of our holidays, aren't they? Yep. And you know what? They're taking all of our holidays, and they're replacing them with tornadoes. Really? Yeah. The American Society for the Defense of Tradition, Family, and Property. No, really. By the way, have I mentioned that the Amazon series Alpha House with John Goodman is actually pretty damn funny? Within the first couple of episodes, and it's about four Republican senators, John Goodman being one, and another one is a not terribly butch guy who's a senator from Nevada. And early on, I think it's the first or second episode, where you see him receiving this giant trophy from the American Association of Friends of Normal Marriage. First thing I thought of when I read this story Right Wing Watch about the American Society for the Defense of Tradition, Family, and Property. Let's see. As Deaf Fap. Well, they've got a little sub campaign called America Needs Fatima. They don't make entirely clear what America needs Fatima for. I thought America was trying to become less Fatima. According to America Needs Fatima, brought to you by As Deaf Fap, Prop. And their executive director, Robert Ritchie. Well, Robert Ritchie he has some questions. He's just asking questions over on the America Needs Fatima blog. Do you think the massive Illinois tornadoes are linked to the passing of the same-sex marriage bill? Do you? The massive tornadoes that hit Illinois after the passing of the same-sex marriage bill has stimulated many people to reflection. Tornadoes has. You know what? In the new digital economy, I'm absolutely convinced that the real money is going to happen when the great wave of a yearning for true editing sweeps the blogosphere. The massive tornadoes that, yes, I'm doing it again. The massive tornadoes that hit Illinois after the passing of the same-sex marriage bill, comma, has stimulated many people to reflection. Here's a guy who's against gay marriage and he can't get through a first sentence without using the word stimulated. In it, comma, some see God's chastisement, semicolon. Always remember, friends, that Kurt Vonnegut, my personal saint, said that the use of a semicolon does is prove that you've been to college. Or in the case of Brother Richie, that he hasn't. In it, some see God's chastisement. It what? It tornadoes? Wouldn't that be them? In them tornadoes? No, that's hillbilly. Others see it as yet one more merciful warning from Providence. Semicolon. Others yet deny both options and give various reasons. What do you think? I think if you're worshiping somebody who drops tornadoes on people, you might want to head down to the Oklahoma State House grounds and wait for that satanic monument to get set up so you can do some right damn fine worshiping, that's what I think, Mr. Richie. Who has apparently been cursed by some demon with the inability to make subject and verb freaking agree. Dr. John says, now, Bob, you can't have Witzelow Poachley and ignore Shipe Totec. That's the dear one played, by the way. If we're going to plant corn, we also need to learn to study war. Absolutely. Love and marriage go together like a horse and carriage. Dr. John also says, I'm confused. Gretch is angry that the Festivus pole is made of beer cans. What else would you make one out of? I mean, isn't that what the doctrine and the dogma and the doggerel say you have to make your Festivus can out of? You know what I'd love to hear? Given the way that she was so plain with her outrage, I think someone should invite the Gretch to a Festivus celebration so that she could partake of the airing of grievances. I'll bet you half the people at that table would look like Shippy Totec by the time she was done. Just flay the skin right off of them. Yes, their God does send earthquakes, Irish Dave, as well as tornadoes. So just to recount, according to Mr. Not Very Grammatical, fourth grade dropout of sentence diagramming Richie. Just to be clear, his loving God sends tornadoes to kill heterosexual Christians to prove that gay marriage is bad. Yes, absolutely, Irish Dave. Irish Dave says, I'm very fond of the commandment that prohibits cooking a goat in its own milk. Hey, Grandpa, what's for supper? And back to the NSA for just a moment. Robert in Australia says, welcome to the evil empire. The government is spying on everyone now. They're hiring 15-year-olds at the NSA. Really? No. Welcome to the evil empire. The world today is beginning to sound just like the communist countries I was told about growing up. The government spies on everyone, the secret police can grab and hold you for as long as they like, and on and on and on. Forget the evil empire. It's 1984. Yeah, what was that creepy-ass story I saw the other day that it's technologically possible for, say, some remote user to turn on the camera on your webcam without the light coming on, so you'll never know when you're sitting there and doing the stuff that No, really, it's only bean dip. So you get the It goes on. But so what do you do? What are you supposed to do when the gay Festivus people are putting their Pabst Blue Ribbon Festivus pole in front of the baby Jesus in Tallahassee and thereby causing tornadoes to strike Illinois? I'll tell you what you do. You pray.
Teresa writes, my 30-year-old nephew just told the family that he's gay. I want to pray for him, but does he need to pray for himself in order to be helped?
Well, you know, a few years ago, the psychologists used to say that homosexuality was a mental illness. Now, the Supreme Court has said that it's a protected right. So what's he going to pray about? Is he going to say something's wrong unless he's unhappy? And if he's unhappy and he realizes he's doing something that makes him miserable, you might help him. It's a very delicate situation, but they need to be shown the Bible. What does the Bible say about this? The Bible is...
Well, the Bible, Pat, says that they're to be taken outside the city walls and stoned to death with big rocks. Makes you kind of wonder what you do to a gay person caught eating shrimp while wearing garments made of two conflicting fibers and maybe snacking on a goat that was marinated in its own milk. I don't think there's enough rocks. Well, okay, never mind. No, Pat wants all the gay people to be shown the Bible. The power of Christ compels you. The power of Christ compels you. Compels you. Compels you. Will make you relinquish the...
He's explicit about it. Now, I understand, and I've...
Well, yeah, there's a lot of explicit there, like when Abraham pimps out his own wife as his sister to Pharaoh. She's my sister! She's my sister!
Mentioned on this program, people that need a sex change operation. In other words, it's a woman trapped in a man's body, a man trapped in a woman's body.
Yeah, he said, the video is precious. This is one of those shortcoming moments of radio. We turn the video broadcast on just long enough for you to see Pat with his chin down against his necktie knot. I don't know if he just got a little bit of bad hummus of holiness at lunch, or maybe if that's the old overholt taking over. That shit can be pretty satanic. I'm not kidding.
And they really need some hormones and surgery to get the thing lined up. That's one thing.
To get the thing lined up, because that's the cause of gender dysphoria. Your thing is out of line. Your thing is. Go on, Pat. You know, I didn't shed a lot of tears when Paul Crouch died. Nasty old fraud. But there's really nobody out there. I mean, Brian Fisher just doesn't have it. He doesn't have that certain something that Pat Robertson does. I hate to admit it, but I'm going to miss Pat. Assuming that he doesn't live to be, you know, as old as Methuselah.
But this other, many, many people are into this lifestyle because they have been abused as a child and so forth. I don't know why he's there, what he's there, but I think you say he's got to pray for himself. Yeah, but you can pray that the Lord will show him his love and his truth, and out of that he will find an acceptance to where God has for him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amen. Yeah, amen. What the does that mean? You can listen to that as maybe old Marion, former liquor supply officer that he is, coming around and mellowing a little bit in his old age. Is it possible that Marion just said that his invisible friend in the sky purposed for that person to be gay? I don't know. Then again, he wants the Bible to be shown to him, and, well, we know how that usually works out.
And then did Hambilabab take his recalcitrant homo son outside the city gates, and they did say, yea, thou art a homo, we shall stone thee. And he said, wilt thou stone me for being a homo or because I have eaten shrimp? And the group said, he ate shrimp, we shall stone him twice, yea, verily. That's the kind of night it's going to be, I guess. You know the one thing I haven't heard yet? I have not yet heard someone mention the Satanic Memorial at the same time that they talk about the... because they talk about it all the time. Talk about the Hail Satan person from down there at the Texas State House. It is apparently poor old Oklahoma stands done been triangulated. It's coming at them from New York and Austin, too. So we'll take a little break now and then cut to your calls. Wide open lines, 304-658-3333. On Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N, Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype. And we are an hour and 7 minutes into the program, and we are still at $125 and holding on our fundraising for the evening, which is not a good sign. So there you have it. But nonetheless, we'll take a break. Brad and Desi are out there with the Green News Report. We'll check that out, too. This is, of course, Conversation Radio. This is The Horn. And we'll... we'll wander back. Don't go anywhere. Not going to be gone that long. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I lit up from Reno Island's trail by 20 hours. That night till the morning came around. Sit out running, but I take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight. Ran into the devil, baby, lonely 20 bills. Spent the night in Utah in a fever in the fields. Sit out and run, but I take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight. I ran down to the levee, but the devil caught me there. Took my $20 bill and it vanished in the air. Sit out and run, but I take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight. Got two reasons why I cry awake, lonely night. The first one's named Sweet Emery, and she's my heart's delight. Second one is prison baby, the sheriff's on my trail. And if he catches up with me, I'll spend my life in jail. Got a wife in Chino, baby, and one in Cherokee. First one say she got my child, but it don't look like me. Sit down, run, but take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight. wife and Chino, baby, and the one Cherokee. First one say she got my child, but it don't look like it. I said I'm running, but I took my time. I ran the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight.
It's Tuesday, December 10, 2013.
To the people of South Africa, the world thanks you for sharing Nelson Mandela with us, a giant of history.
Celebrating the climate action legacy of Nelson Mandela. Historic water compact in the volatile Middle East. Air pollution linked to autism. Water pollution linked to miscarriages. Plus,
simply put, we have an important obligation to claim the full shelf as part of our great country.
Canada is claiming the North Pole as its own because, well, drill, baby, drill.
All of those drills and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comments.
We put 50 million tons of sulfuric acid in the air now as pollution, and it kills a million people a year worldwide.
Okay, and that's
and so
good or bad?
It's terrible.
Says you, this is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, some record cold across the entire country this week. Haven't seen it yet on Fox, but I'm sure it's there. This means global warming is over, right?
Yeah, it's almost impossible to get away from. What's interesting is that not only are some new cold temperature records being broken in the U.S., but also some new heat records are being broken in both Alaska and Florida.
Yeah, well, that may be true, but it's about 50 degrees here in Los Angeles. I say call FEMA. We're in trouble. Now, in actual news, celebrating the legacy of Nelson Mandela, a lot of people, myself included, had no idea that his legacy also involves climate action and climate change.
Yes, Nelson Mandela was a vocal advocate for action on climate change. He created the Council of Elders in 2007, made up of former heads of state and other international religious leaders that called on rich countries to take responsibility for their historic pollution and to act to prevent dangerous climate change.
Which is interesting, because we're just coming out of the UN climate talks in Warsaw, Poland, and once again, the negotiation, the battles were over how much rich nations should pay versus how much poor nations should pay.
Yes, an international climate treaty is proving exceedingly difficult. Environmental activists might do well to take hope from one of Mandela's most famous quotes, "It always seems impossible until it's done."
Climate activists need to take hope from somewhere, I guess.
In other international news, an historic water compact for the volatile Middle East. After 11 years of negotiations, Israel, Jordan, and the Palestinians on Monday signed an historic agreement to share dwindling freshwater resources like the Sea of Galilee and build a new shared water desalination plant on the Red Sea.
Israel and Palestine signed an agreement together?
To share.
That's kind of amazing. Nelson Mandela would be proud, I suspect.
Meanwhile, in the U.S., a spate of new studies on the immediate health impacts of pollution. In California, yet another air pollution study has found a strong link between higher rates of autism in children living in areas that have high levels of air pollution. Another new study shows a spike of toxic lead contamination found in the Washington, D.C. municipal water supply in the early 2000s correlates with a spike in late-term miscarriages in the nation's capital at the same time. The researchers say a bigger study is needed to prove the miscarriages were directly caused by toxic lead in the water.
Wow, what was the cause of that lead in the water in the 2000s in D.C.?
A new chemical treatment process. It was later discovered it was leaching lead from the old water pipes. Rates of miscarriage returned to average after that contamination was stopped.
Wow.
Justice for Camp Lejeune. In a long-standing water contamination case at the Marine Base Camp Lejeune in North Carolina, a new study by the Centers for Disease Control this week confirms a strong link to much higher rates of cancers and birth defects in people who lived on the base during the 70s and 80s. Survivors may finally get assistance paying their medical bills.
It's almost as if toxins and polluting the atmosphere has an ill effect on human beings. Go figure.
Finally,
today we mark an important milestone in our government's historic effort to define the outer limits of Canada's continental shelf to assert and to defend our national sovereignty.
Canada is moving forward on its plan to become a global petrostate, asserting its territorial control of oil and gas resources and new shipping lanes in the melting Arctic. Canada has filed a claim with the United Nations to dramatically expand its territorial boundaries as central to Canada's future economic prosperity. Canadian Foreign Minister John Baird announced on Monday.
Our government has devoted and will continue to devote the resources necessary to ensure that Canada secures international recognition for the full extent of our continental shelf in both the Atlantic and the Arctic Oceans. Simply put, we have an important obligation to claim the full shelf as part of our great country.
Oh, Canada, you and your aggressive expansionist policies all in the name of petrodollars. Again, thanks, Canada. You're giving all of North America a bad name. For much more on that story and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com, where you can also help us stay on your public airwaves. Find us and like us on the Facebook and follow us 24/7 on the Twitters at Green News Report. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
How can you do that making me look bad? You're such a horse hand. Yeah, well, take off.
Take off.
Oh, I love that song. I just do. And y'all, it's 18 minutes past the hour. Y'all seem to take some sort of perverse pleasure in just, you know, flicking my little things that make me crazy. No, I'm not. I just got a tweet from Sandra. She said, "I'm thinking about you, Bob. LOL." Retweeting at Zamosta, "The best case ever for the Oxford comma." From Sky News, the following. Top stories. World leaders at Mandela tribute, comma. Obama-Castro handshake and same-sex marriage date set. Well, congratulations to the happy couple. I can't wait until somebody tells John freaking McCain. This is the horn for Titanic Tuesday. And it is 20 minutes past the hour. Let's see what's happening on the phones. Hey, welcome to the program. Hello?
Bob, I think you might have me.
I think I do have you.
My name is Ken.
Ah, yes, you had threatened to call in and were afraid you might pass out.
brief,
Ken, brief.
Haven't yet, but let's work up to it, okay?
Okay. So far, so good.
Kind of go easy on me there, Bob.
All right.
But, you know, I didn't really think I have any particular to say. Only got to catch part of your opening. I did say I've been listening since the latter part of the Shrub administration.
You've been around for a long time, and silent, pretty silently, too.
I have. I can prove it. I have names. Remember Tobias?
Oh, yes.
He, like, died. He was, like, an ex-preacher or something.
Yeah.
I just thought I'd call and try to stop lurking and join the commune, I guess.
Oh, and welcome to it. You've been a member all along. You just haven't come down to the front of and joined formally joined the congregation. You've been there all along, Ken. And I'm awfully glad that you did, in fact, call in. And by the way, you know, anytime you feel like it, you will be warmly welcomed if you want to wander over to the chat room too.
I was trying to just a little bit ago and was having some issues, but I'm sure we'll sort that out.
Yeah, it's Java based and it can be a pain in the ass, frankly.
Okay, but I'm about a month behind on the podcast. Thank goodness, the Flying Spaghetti Monster that Ben Birch is there to have the podcast. Because I'm about a month behind.
Well,
somewhere in the walls of July, I just lost interest. I could give a good crap about these stupid Republicans and, ugh.
You know, that's the glory of not doing the program, frankly. Is you get to walk away from it and just let the cobwebs clear out of your head,
right.
and the crazy drain out.
Okay, well, we'll set up the lumber for you there. You can get up on your cross. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I won't. We need the wood, Ken.
You know, I try to be a situational comic. I like making people laugh, including myself. If I sound stupid, I laugh at my own jokes. Well,
no, that's okay.
At least it helps me get through it.
Absolutely. And let me just ask a question, because everybody's geographically curious around here. Nobody, you don't have to give a street address or anything, but just generally, where are you from?
Yeah, I'm pre-considered that notion. I'm prepared to say, well, from where I'm from. I know the risks involved. You know, if those kind of people can find me, I want to know about it. So, you kind of understand my reasoning?
Absolutely.
So they can already find me, then I want to know who is behind it.
Right.
Make it easier. So, to me, I'm from Erie, Pennsylvania.
Ah, yes. Okay. Well, it's good. It is indeed good to hear from you. And you know, you've got members of the Horn Family Commune up not too awfully far from you, so you're in pretty good shape.
I heard one caller maybe a year or so ago back. I think it was from the Meadville area. Some of it is little. We call it Meadville. I call it Mudville. Kind of a rivalry thing going on, you know, whatever.
And yeah, we can just generally say that you are from the state of Fractopia.
Absolutely. They want to bring it here.
Well, I mean, you already got it in PA. I mean, it's
yes. Oh, yeah. It's Corbin is completely, he's their puppet.
And yet they don't think they've fracked quite enough yet. By the way,
no,
you're
getting... they're going to frack us really freaking hard. I tell you that.
And it won't be fun. By the way,
I guess it brought the gas prices down for now. And well, I can tell you about Erie a little bit. We do have a GE plant here.
Yeah.
And they build the locomotives and some mining equipment.
Ah, I didn't know they built mining equipment. I knew about the locomotives.
Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of the ugly side of GE. I don't know if you know this, if you caught Rick Smith, but we lost 1,000 jobs. They built a plant, a satellite plant down in Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Yeah.
And they built the plant and just hung it over the heads of Erie workers, basically.
Yeah, it's
basically order we're moving.
Yeah, the surrender Dorothy speech.
Okay. Take your word for it.
No, you know, from the Wizard of Oz, surrender Dorothy.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Give up and we might let you keep your jobs.
No. No, they're giving the five-finger salute on your way out.
Yeah. Well, you're getting supportive shout outs from the chat room. Jan R says welcome shout out to Ken from us here in Las Vegas.
Well, say I can see where the blessing prayer. I think I need a tourniquet for my head too. I don't want to get big head on stuff. And we had a recent anniversary, the bicentennial of War of 1812.
That's true.
But on the Great Lakes.
I had some ancestors involved in that little fracas.
Hmm. You're Scots-Irish, right? You're Scots-Irish, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a dumb Polak, okay? I'm not afraid to admit it. Now I got Polish and German and Slovak. And that reminds me, I gotta mention, Mr. Bill. Mr. Stress, I call
yes.
Mr. Bill. But a shout out to him in Cleveland. I've been to Cleveland a few times. I was actually out in the school there in Cleveland. And, you know, Mr. Stress's story about going to Canada fishing?
Yeah.
In that little lake. I can't remember which lake, but we used to fish just north of there. Maybe 20, 30 miles. It's got an Indian name, Lake Kaswanuki. So good. We used to do walleye and perch fishing up there.
Oh.
Bring home a year's worth of, every Friday, fish fry.
Oh, walleye Friday. Yeah, I get.
Oh, absolutely.
I get weepy.
But, you know, I don't want to forget how I mentioned, I have a brother that lived in Wisconsin for a while.
Mm-hmm.
What I like to say, like, I agree with you, it's the Shire. It really is like the Shire. I had the best cheeseburger on the freaking planet up there. It was Kobe beef. Well, it's like, you know, grass-fed, pork-free,
right.
Everything, right?
Yeah.
And they had some killer names with, like, some had Brie, some had smoked,
Yeah, last time I was in Madison, Kobe. I was hearing about some truly, truly awesome burger joint in Madison, and I'm never there long enough to go and check these things out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so, you know, my brother was there, and he loved this restaurant. He'd go there, like, twice a week, to a big half-pound burger, just completely fresh, no hormones, no corn, no high fructose corn syrup, and they didn't rape the cow or stupid like that.
Pick it up with a forklift after it had died.
Yeah, I mean, it was Salome. She said, moo.
Moo, y'all. Moo.
So, yeah, I did catch part of your opening, something about goat's blood. You know, I don't think I have to do that, do I?
No, no.
Do I call up here?
No, that's the beautiful part of not participating. Yeah, no goat's blood, no goat's head soup. No, sorry.
Good.
I'm not, for as much of an adventuresome eater as I am, I've never been really able to get all worked up over goat.
No. Forget it. I'm not eating any of that. Sometimes I toy with being a chef, you know, I watch shorts, Anthony Bourdain, like you do.
Yeah.
But I can't eat all that gross stuff. I just, you know, bugs. No, I'm not eating bugs. No. Sorry, I did not.
Yeah, passing. See, I remember, and this is a strange thing that you've called to mind, I remember 10th grade biology. We started out with an earthworm and dissected that. And then the next step up was and I apologize everybody who's dining right now, the next step up was the dissection of a really big-ass grasshopper. And the inside of that thing looked like the inside of a Reese's peanut butter cup, and I didn't eat another one of those things. I mean the peanut butter cup, not the grasshopper, for a right solid couple of years.
Because the grasshopper is probably better for you.
Well, it probably is. But I'd crack that thing up and go, oh, I've seen that. Never mind. You want this? Yeah.
No doubt. Well, that kind of lends me to... I'm kind of scatterbrained. I might jump to different topics. I'm a little crazy. I am actually really nervous.
aren't you getting in touch with your inner Zen? I mean,
yeah. Well, I'm like pacing around and trying to gather my thoughts, but then I get kind of scatterbrained. But speaking of bugs, my best buddy is an exterminator, so I get to hear the lowdown of all. Yikes. He doesn't do bed bugs.
Who?
Bed bugs are a serious problem.
Oh, yes, they are.
A serious problem. You know what, Bob? Between me and you and the Horn family, if that ever is a transmitter, is like a vector for disease, we're
screwed.
We're fucked.
Yep.
I don't mean this. I don't swear. Just to swear, but you know that is what it is.
Some people are more allergic to them than others can. Some mm-hmm. people aren't even bothered by them at all, and while other people, when bitten, will have these terrible
right.
allergic reactions.
Well, I'm saying, evolution being what it is, some kind of bug manifests on your blood, basically the blood-borne pathogen. And they'll carry it, and they will spread it, like bed bugs do. It's scary. It's really scary.
Yeah, it is. And on the I've noticed that in the stores they now carry anti bed bug mattress case thingies now, anti bed bug pillow cases. Apparently, it's really gone wild. And, of course, I think, you know, who knows? There's probably the anti-bed bug measures were cut back for purposes of elevating the quarterly profit and loss statement by the Great Big Hotel Corporation of America.
Oh, right. You know, Paris Hilton, I'm sure they check once every year or whenever they feel like it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I know they hate regulations, so they probably, you know, buy us some congressmen.
So is it just brutal freezing ass cold in Erie?
No, it's not brutal yet. It's not brutal yet. It's still in the 30s. It's bearable.
We picked up another 4 inches of snow overnight, and I was just sitting here looking at Ferg. He's in the studio with me, and we both kind of had our noses up in the air. Our neighbors have thrown on another big load of coal in the coal stoves, and
yeah.
Because you know what burning coal smells like, right?
That's absolutely do.
That
I know what
sweet,
like.
Cloying, sickening.
It's just toxic. You sold me on that. First time I heard about it. You know, Bob, that's fucking sick. I can't believe what they're doing to you down there. To me, it's just sick. It's wrong. No other way to put it.
Yeah. By the way, you just got a note from Jude out in the Great Northwest. She said, when Ken called, I was standing on the deck, observing while listening. She lives right there on the water. She said, observing while listening, and the local seal popped his head up, looking in this direction. Just saying. It's all connected.
I'm sure it is. If I believe in any kind of God or something like that, it would be the Earth. Wiccan, whatever, I don't care. I don't...
Well, there's a difference between doctrine and dogma and spirituality.
Absolutely. I was raised Catholic, so I've been through that. I tried converting to Methodist a couple of years when I had my kids. I'm divorced. I'm 47. I'll put all that out there. And again, to Dr. Bill, I have to say this. I am a drummer. I've been a drummer all my life.
Oh, cool. You play in a band? Play in a band anywhere?
I have played in some bands. I have played in bars. I've had a few beers thrown at me. Been in some near fights, like with Dr. Bill could attest. But yeah, I played in a set. I was classically trained by a player. He played in the Erie Philharmonic. So I took snare drum for 2 years, and I took set. For another two, I learned like marimba stuff and
cool.
Piano.
That's
mainly a rock drummer. I'm mainly a rock drummer. I always like punk. You know, I grew up in the '80s, right?
Right.
I've always been kind of a metalhead. I know you're not. Most of the family isn't like that. I think our friend from Hawaii was kind of into something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You said Marilyn Manson was best. Kind of a little too weird for me, but I guess progressive rock. I was a band that played all Kansas covers. You're familiar with Kansas, I'm sure.
Oh, very much so.
So that took quite a while to learn a lot of that. Try to play a style like the.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I once saw Eddie Money open for Kansas. At the Von Braun Civic Center in Huntsville, Alabama.
Oh no!
But that wasn't quite as weird as the night in Birmingham that I saw Loverboy open for ZZ Top.
Oh jeez.
Yeah, that's right up there with the Happy Goodman Family opening for Judas Priest.
I've seen a huge Rush fan personally.
Yeah,
I have. I kind of have a heart of a DJ myself.
Hard to avoid,
but
isn't it?
To me, I would love to be able to play off of any B-side, any record, you know, any other song from the record that's good and sometimes better.
Oh, yeah, than the single?
Yeah, a single. I mean, every album has, what, 8-10 songs on it?
Yeah.
There's bound to be some good ones. They get relegated to the trash bin, but hey, that's gold in there. Yes, me.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what, Ken, I am awfully glad you called in and you have survived and done so admirably.
Well, thank you.
So I trust it will not be your last foray into non-lurking mode.
Yeah, last thing before I go.
Sure.
I have to say, folks, if you can contribute, I haven't been able to lately, but I don't know what I would do without my history and socioeconomics class that law provides for us. So if you can give, by all means, let's keep this thing going.
Well, that is much.
Happy anniversary, Bob.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You are a couple of months behind, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
That is, Ken, that is much appreciated. Thank you very much, because this is one of those evenings where we lie fallow, I guess, because we opened the program at $125 to go, and we're still right there at $125 to go. So you'll have that.
Well, hopefully somebody can step up. I know maybe some nights are a week than others, and sometimes we can all step up. And
right. I mean, it goes up and it goes down, and we just try to hang on. And because I don't think we can ever operate under a buy gold now model. Even if we had somebody on staff who was out there chasing down the buy gold now ads,
yeah.
How quickly would what we're doing here go straight to hell with buy gold now ads?
Yeah, you know, that's not our best part of your program. There's no commercials. I mean, if there's a God, thank her for that, I guess.
Absolutely.
You know?
Oh, and I get notes from folks saying, "Hey, Bob, did you know the Mega Millions is up to $322 million? I got my ticket. The horn's set if I win."
I only do it at $300 million for me.
All right, Ken.
They're playing. All right, thanks, Bob.
All right, thanks. You did great. You did just fine. Take care.
All right.
Bye
now. Good
night. Always nice to hear from folks who have listened and just never publicly introduced themselves. Ken's been listening, like you said, since the latter years of Bush the Dimmer. And, by the way, you'll note he survived. You would be surprised how many people that are absolutely terrified by the idea of talking on a broadcast program. You know, every night we remind folks that that this is a living memorial to Boss Man Wayne's departed beloved wife, Gina. She had great ideas and could absolutely lay them out with just meticulous precision. Couldn't pick up the phone and call a radio show to save herself. I mean, just couldn't do it. Terrified. And that's not a character flaw. Just couldn't do it. But you'd be surprised if anybody can get through. If anybody can get through a phone call on any program, you can do it here. Let's keep things going. 304-658-3333. We are a little over halfway through the program. Thank you, Sal. Thank you very, very much. Sal's gotten us going. We are now down to $120. Sal's there, well, with great, great determination and regularity, and it is much appreciated. Thank you, Sal. So, 12 folks, $10 apiece, 6 folks at 20, 2 at 60, 4 at 30, 3 at 40, yeah, like that. Back to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Well, hello.
Oh, hey, what's happening, Bill? You got conjured, I think.
Well, I just I'm just go Seb Keenan. I carved on a deposit. So, anyhow, how the hell's out of pound about to? I mean, excuse this. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm just town to positive. Jesus Christ. Yeah, my found God, I'm just found, yeah, well, I'm just,
How's the move going, Bill?
Well, anyway, it's just found out about Jesus Christ, what the hell's the matter with me?
Are you having some speech difficulties or?
Yeah, I mean, it's just found about a car. Jesus Christ, Bill,
Hey, Bill.
Yeah.
You know how much people care about you.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're having some speech difficulties. Can you reach out to one of our buddies there near you and just let him hear, and if you need some help, let him try to find it for you.
Bill, seriously.
Yeah. I'm very serious. Call one of those mutual friends we have. Do it right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, okay. I mean, I'm.
No. I'm serious. There are people who are worrying that you might need medical attention, and
well,
we want
Bob,
to see you get
just,
it.
It's just I'm just about. I'm about five. About a five. Jesus Christ, Bob!
I think it would be wise, Bill, to let a doc check you out.
Well, Bob,
people are really, really worrying about you.
Well, I mean, Bob, I've got a guy about a cob to see about Bob's. It's I can't believe you, because my Bob is. Just found and forgot about you. I mean, Bob found that, I just found Bob. I'll tell you the truth. It's Bob. I mean, I found my God. Yeah. It's just, I found probably. Anyway, I'll let you got because frankly, I just found Bob, and you know I'm okay. It's just
well, but see, Bill, listen to me very carefully, please.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are a lot of people are threatened because this is very unlike you.
Yeah. Well. Okay, Bob.
And so what people are wanting you to do is to call one of our mutual friends.
Yep.
You know the ones I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Our buddy Isaac, our buddy Thomas.
Yeah, okay. I'll
call them, please, and
yeah, okay.
if you need to be seen by a doctor, don't fool around, Bill, okay? Please. We all love you very dearly.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, Bob, I got it.
Don't struggle. Just do that and make sure they get back with me, okay? And let the family know. We love you, man.
Yeah, well, okay. I just follow Bob. I don't Anyway, I'll talk to you, okay?
Bye. All right. Let us know, okay?
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Fine.
Thanks. Bye now. Isaac, are you out there? Thomas, Would you check on Bill, please? Really, sincerely, please. A lot of folks are worried. Worried about things like strokes, or a medication mishap. Or thank you for all of your concern. I mean, the emails just zoomed in, and the level of concern is beautiful to behold because it speaks to this community. Bill, if you can still hear me, it's okay to call the doctor. That's what they're there for. You've been under a hell of a lot of stress. And when I hear somebody who is as lucid and as well-spoken as you, struggling with speech like that, don't fool around with it, brother. Please, man. Let's go back to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob?
Yeah.
Ma'am?
Yeah.
Well, this is Mike. The only reason I called is you know his name and you know what city he lives in. Can you call 911?
I think that process is in play, is working now.
I just couldn't stand to hear that, Bob.
No, I understand.
I just want to make that suggestion. Please keep us informed.
There are people who know his particulars far better than do I. And hopefully that is in process.
Okay, I'm gonna hang up.
All right, sounds good. Bye. I'm gonna take a minute here and try to just get a couple of messages out. I never know when people are listening or not listening. Hang on. What was this? Isaac's on the job. All of you wanting to make sure that 911 gets called. Because you know what? He said it before, so I don't think he minds me saying it. You're Bill's family. We're not kidding when we talk about building a family, building a community here. You're Bill's family and he's yours. And so Isaac says, line is busy, I'll keep trying. Thank you, Isaac. Thank you. I don't know. I don't have a physical address. So hopefully, we will get some sort of answer back. Thank you again. Thank you again, Isaac. We will keep the conversation going. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey. Dave?
Dave.
Yeah.
Portland, Oregon. I think he was having a hemorrhage. He's having a stroke there. Is there possible? You have caller ID on your phone?
No.
You don't. Because there might be a way to reverse.
No, I don't. I mean, this is a desk set that. Yeah.
And you don't have his phone number then, huh?
No.
Because they could possibly get his address from that. 911 could probably get his address from that. That was I've never actually witnessed anything like that, but I'm pretty sure that's what was going on. the more time goes by.
Right. Yes. I know.
Get the tension. It's vital. Like time is really, really a factor. So if there's any way that you or your or somebody in the community can get to them as soon as possible, that's exactly what's got to do.
You know what, Dave? If you'll stand by, I'll come back to you. I just had a thought. There might be some way for me to sort of reverse engineer this. I don't know if it'll work or not, but
yeah.
Let me put you back on hold, and I am gonna try to just reach out and do what I can. Stand by, please.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm just gonna put on some sort of generic stuff. And I will be back presently. And see if I can figure out some way of, I mean, yeah. Well, you know what I'm talking about. Stand by, please. It's about 3.5 minutes before the hour, and I want to thank Isaac and Thomas, both of whom have reached out. Thomas tells me that a squad is on the way to Bill's location. So hopefully things will be okay. And I'm sure that one way or another, both Thomas and or Isaac will keep us apprised of the situation. It's about 3 minutes, like I said, about 3 minutes before the hour. And thank you. Thank you to Labor Man, who in the midst of all of that helped out tremendously. Thank you. Kevin, I think you can stand down. A squad is on the way. But thanks for doing that. Let's open the phone lines back up, and then, and like I said, I promise what I have, I will share with you as I know it. I'm sure both Isaac and Thomas will keep us all informed of what they know via email. Back to the phones. Hey, welcome back.
Yeah, so that was fast. That was really good. Really, really good.
Well, families do that in times of crisis.
Yeah, I trust he'll get what he needs as soon as possible.
Absolutely, I hope so. You know, this is just because I'm mean this way, Dave. It's not like Bill has not had stress that he goddamn well didn't need dumped on him for the last month or so.
Yeah, I know his story. I know. So many people are under this incredible stress. I feel it myself, you know my situation, right?
Yeah.
So I got motion for summary judgment on the 20th of the month, and I got to do something before then. And I'm still trying to get something going, just trying to, do a removal of my case into federal court. But these banks don't.
So you're resisting a motion for summary judgment?
What I'm going to try to do is get a removal to.
No. Let me just ask the questions.
Okay.
Did the other side file a motion for summary judgment against you?
They will make a motion for summary judgment on the 20th of December.
Well, then you, if they make, have they served you with a motion for summary judgment?
No, not yet. This is what I heard in court back a couple months ago, last month.
Okay, because they can't just say we're going to do a motion for summary judgment on the 20th and not provide you with a written copy of their motion.
Okay, I know that. I think that
when dealing just remember this: when dealing with a motion for summary judgment, the person resisting the motion, the only thing they have to do, and I'm not advising you as a lawyer, I'm not a lawyer, and I don't play one on the radio, but summary judgment is a device that says to the court that there are no genuine issues of material fact or law to be decided by a jury or a judge. So the only thing you've got to do is create one issue of either fact or law, or more if you can, and summary judgment hopefully would not be entered.
Okay. Yeah, I have a trial date in April, but my strategy, I appreciate that information. That's excellent, because what I'm alleging is that they don't have the standing. But from what I've heard, I've got to go through some other tactics. I have to do some other things. Detail. But I have a friend that's very, very highly intelligent, and knows a lot better than I do, so we're working together and trading favors. I've got confidence in that. But everybody is under intense stress right now, and I just read the news, I
listen to the radio. I'm aware of what's going on. I feel rage a lot of times, and I'm not a spring chicken either. I'm 53, so I get really, really angry sometimes. You know, one little bit of good news. I got some dental work done. It's awesome. Have you ever heard of the Mission of Mercy?
No.
It's a thing like they do in the third world where all of these...
Like the remote access clinics that Kate talks about from time to time.
Yeah. I went to one of those last month, and I got a couple of cavities filled. And God, I just talked to a friend of mine today. It was awesome because I told him about it the day before, and he got down and got his wisdom teeth extracted. And these clinics, actually, they're great because you don't have to make an appointment. You just show up at 3 in the morning. They let you into the convention center at 4 in the morning. And I was out by 9 o'clock, and the guys that do it are these older dentists that are all experts. They've done 10,000 fillings or 100,000 fillings in their careers, and so it's awesome. They're really, really good, and it's quick, and they're super nice. They give you breakfast. I mean, it was unbelievable. It's what America should be. America should be about.
And actually, you shouldn't have to show up at the Civic Center at 3 o'clock in the morning to take care of a dental issue, Dave. I mean, I'm glad you were able to get it, and I'm not being negative, but that ought to be a right of all Americans. And there was kind of a big deal earlier today. I don't know if you caught this or not, but today Bernie Sanders in the Senate of the United States caused the for-profit healthcare industry to have just at least maybe a moment of turtle squirts, because he actually did the unthinkable. Today in the Senate of the United States, Bernie Sanders introduced a Medicare for All bill. And
yeah, I heard about that. I read about that.
And over on the House side, Representative Jim McDermott of Washington had introduced the same thing, a companion bill. Now, realistically, I don't even know if I can say realistically anything anymore, Dave. Because what's going on in Washington, D.C. is so far removed from the reality of what people's lives, wherever they may be in the rest of the country, that it's almost impossible to extrapolate, is it not?
Oh, you said it. I think that they're completely out of touch. But I know a number of people that have gone through all the way through this process that I talked about, the foreclosure thing, and these people are, you know, like us, they're like baby boomers, and it just radicalizes people, totally radicalizes people. I mean, they come out hating government so much because they're just carrying water for these banks. And I heard they passed the Volcker rule today, so they okayed that, but they'll fight back in the banks. They've got unlimited resources.
And, sure.
That's the thing. I mean, it's just like, unless you have a lot yourself, it's really difficult to fight. But, you know, you just got to keep up the faith and keep fighting. But, the stress level for people, I think, there's so many people. I mean, a friend of mine, she got her food stamps cut, and she was barely making. She called me in an emergency at the beginning of the month and needed a couple hundred bucks, and I just, you know, I couldn't say no, because I mean, you know, it's like people are that close to desperation, to losing it, getting their power turned off. Man, it's been cold up down here, out here in Oregon.
I just had a note from Kate on the Front Range in Montana. She said she was getting a little tired of listening to stories about everything being the fault of gay people when she's sitting there not creating earthquakes in 10 below zero. It's 10 below where Kate is in Montana.
It was 16 over here a couple of days ago. I think it was 18 degrees this morning.
I think the high here, the unofficial high here, was around 27. It's probably back down in the teens by now. I haven't felt my feet since about 3 p.m. And that's not me getting up on the cross again. That's just, yeah, how it is. No insulation under the floor here. The room is warm enough. The floor sucketh.
Well, I got the thermostat down at about 54, and the heat's on continually. I can't get it down much lower. But it feels really warm. I was out today, and it was about 30, and it felt warm, almost. You know, just a little bit cool, but I'm just getting used to this. And this is the coldest it's been around here for a few years, 3 or 4 at least. But, yeah, the really peculiar thing is kind of disturbing. It's really dry here, though. It's dry as a bone. The roads are dry. Everything's dry, dry, dry. The dirt in the backyard is dry. This is Oregon, you know. It's
yeah.
It rains here.
Right. This should be the rainy season, right?
Yeah, yeah. We've had almost no rain in December, and it's just been all the whole fall has just been really, really dry. Rained a few days, but it's not like normal. Not like
don't be surprised if this is a new normal.
Yeah.
As Brad and Desi noted, Florida and Alaska are setting record high temperatures. Alaska, yeah.
Yeah.
Go figure.
I heard they had 90s up there last summer, which is, it was just, yeah, they had record-breaking heat up there. It's really, yeah. I just feel sometimes like we're just at a point of no return, you know?
You know, there's a lot of people who are asking that question, and hell, I'm one of them, but... The problem, Dave, is that we don't know what the point of no return looks like. And there's a whole lot of people out there, as I've remarked before, that expect the point of no return to have a big blinking neon sign that says, you have just passed the point of no return. Well, hell, there are civilization after civilization after civilization that passed it and never knew it. And then one day everybody just walked away. And it wasn't even that. It was just over a period of a generation or two. There was nobody there. I mean... I got to thinking about that a little bit just because of where I live. In the last 5 years here where I live, okay, let's make it 10. In the last 10 years here where I live, we have lost 2 car dealerships, an insurance agency, 3 restaurants, what else? A pool hall, 2 bars, a grocery store, and, you know, you don't think about these things on a day-to-day basis. But if you do stop for a second, you can see it happening. Now, this is sort of a cultural collapse that's not necessarily climate-induced. It's the depopulation of... And if you live in an area that is being actively depopulated, it is kind of weird to behold. Southern West Virginia is being depopulated for the purposes of mountaintop removal, among other things. But it's also one of the oldest demographics in the country. And it also just happens to be doing what older demographics do. It's dying. And the children who remain... are the children who have remained only because they could not get the hell out of here. I mean, this is, I am personal witness to a spiral of dysfunction. And the smart kids get out of West Virginia and they never forget that they're Appalachian people, but they're Appalachian people in New York or Appalachian people in Boston or Chicago or Phoenix or Frisco. I'm San Francisco or Portland or Seattle or Denver or Dallas or Atlanta or any number of other places, and they will pine for the hills of home for as long as they live, Dave. But there is nothing here to come back to, and the people who don't get away, well,
yes,
it's a dumbing down. It is a generational dumbing down.
Well, I think a lot of people are coming to awareness. I just find myself feeling angry a lot because I, you know, these people just insult our intelligence so much. I mean, they just talk to us like they think we're stupid. We're not. A lot of us aren't. But, it's just making it through, just trying to see the light of day, see the light at the end of the tunnel, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. I think, the last 5 years, it's just like learning to live one day at a time, pretty much, for a lot of people, for me, but for a lot of people.
Right. We tend to view our lives as well should be expected, Dave, within the lens of our own existence. But if we can step out of it and it's hard to do, just step back for a moment and look around, it's a different picture. But my father died at 82 in 2007. And in 2007, he was already recognizing that this was not the America that he grew up in.
Yeah, my dad was the same age as yours then.
I saw my father weep over what George W. Bush was doing to the country that he fought to save from fascism. And he knew. I think a lot of people knew. No, even, and I know this is going to sound a little bit nutty, but I think even to a certain extent, although for all the wrong reasons and with all the wrong symptoms, I think even the damn stupid teabaggers know. They know there's something wrong with this country, but they have been pre-programmed to think that it's because the homosexuals are getting married. And that in itself is an industry. Getting people to look at what's wrong with this country and blame it on everything that it isn't, so that the people who are creating what's wrong with this country can continue to profit by making what's wrong with this country wronger. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely, sure. Yeah, I don't talk to many teabaggers, but when I do talk to conservatives, I just, I ask them questions. And, like, do you know who the Koch brothers are? You ever heard of the Koch brothers? You know who they are? Do you know? What do you think of the science? What do you think about science? You believe in this global warming stuff? Okay, well, let's go back. You do believe in gravity, don't you? And,
gravity. Gravity?
Let's test.
I don't know about no gravity.
Well,
I mean, I had a girlfriend once. She was kind of gravity, but we broke up a long time ago.
That was chastity, but
gravity chastity. That's right.
Yeah, chastity gravity. The thing is that I ask these people questions, and I usually leave them feeling pretty uncomfortable. They want to do some rip, and I just say, Clinton left us with a surplus, and Bush left us with a depression. What else do you want to know? Tell me something else.
Yeah, it's... Yeah.
Go watch.
Well, it's like that line I opened the program with from Joshua that I saw on Facebook. Where he said it was shameful to see Barack Obama shaking hands with a man who has been a brutal dictator and tortured and imprisoned people in Cuba. But enough about Bush. I thought him shaking hands with Raul Castro was pretty cool.
I get these waves of rage sometimes when I hear this stuff. But then I can laugh about it sometimes too. I don't know. I was in 12 step for about 8 years. I was in Al-Anon, which is like the program for people who have friends and relatives who are alcoholics.
Right.
listen to drugs, but and you learn these techniques, these mental techniques of coping, like detaching, emotionally detaching. And I mean, I'm not advocating being a detached human being, but sometimes, you know, to maintain your sanity, you got to just take a step back, like you say, and just look at it and say, okay, you know, I won't argue with people. Authoritarian personalities, they respond much better to assertions, and I won't, you know, I won't try and, you know, have a conversation with them per se, because it's just, that's not, you know, that's not a successful technique, you know.
No.
You know, I was incarcerated for a long time. You didn't know that, right?
Yes.
I was incarcerated for many, many years. And I learned some ironies of human nature in incarceration. I actually used to love selling to conservatives because, yeah, you can just talk authoritative to them and they can respond to that.
My God, this thing's got dual mud flaps and a chrome-plated flanger plate with a Knutton valve on it. You telling me that's not worth $30,000, buddy? You mean like that?
Just when they say things, not respond to what they say, because, you know, you make the mistake if you think that having a conversation with a rational person and an irrational person is the same scenario. One thing, it's like people would say things to me, and I would just change the subject, or ask them a question, get the upper hand, and try to go at it a different way. I think that it's like hitting a boulder with a ball-peen hammer. You hit it so many times in so many different places, and then one place, and it just crumbles, goes to pieces. You get through, you make the progress you need to make.
Yeah.
You remember a couple weeks ago, where was it? We were on Facebook, and you were talking about that Utah Attorney General.
Yeah.
The Utah Attorney General Cox, I guess. Was that his name?
I think it was.
Yeah. And I had said that my mom had actually, I mean, my parents had a lot of weird friends. A lot of interesting people were their friends. But my mom had been engaged to a Latter-day Saint bishop, attorney general for the state of Utah when she was 20 years old. And I guess, if she had married the guy, I wouldn't be around and she'd be in Salt Lake. But that's not what happened. And I met this fella a few times when I was a teenager, when I was a kid and a teenager, and he was a fairly interesting guy. But, you know, the weirdest thing happened when my mom was in her 70s. You know, they always corresponded, and he went through a midlife, late life, well, I don't know what you want to call it, crisis, and wanted to leave his wife, marry my mother, and she had to cut off communication with him because she was not that type, not the type, not a homewrecker.
No,
but it was pretty freaky. The freaky story. Yeah, Bob Hansen was his name, and he ran for U.S. Senate too, but he never got to the Senate. He was a bishop in the church, and he had a crusade in the 70s to, that's what it was. He wanted to ban all porno films in Utah. And of course, as you probably know, they're the biggest consumers of porno in the country.
Yes. They really are. Alabama and Utah, I think, consume more porn per capita than any other states in the union.
Yeah, but he was really down on Last Tango in Paris too, which I haven't seen the movie, but I
isn't there something involving a stick of butter?
Yeah, but it wasn't really really hardcore. You know, they didn't show. You know,
no, it was. Well, frankly, it was tame by today's comparison.
Oh, yeah, in those days, I think Clockwork Orange was rated X, too. So, I mean, and that had no, it had a lot of violence in it, but didn't have any explicit sex. But, yeah, I think I remember my mom, Bob Hansen visited Los Angeles one time when I was growing up in L.A., and my mom tried to entice him to go to Last Tango in Paris when he was down, and he wouldn't do it, though. He was too much of a prude or denying.
Yeah, it was Marlon Brando, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Marlon Brando, and I don't know who the female lead was, but it was right around the time that they did The Godfather, too. He had kind of a resurgence in popularity then, but
if he looked the same as he did in The Godfather, that had to be some really, really, really... I don't know. That's sexy time, I guess.
Well, for The Godfather, I think what they did was they made him up to look older. They tried to make him up to look, 10 years older than he was, because I think he was in his 50s.
Yeah, but they didn't have to make him up to... I mean, he was who he was.
Well, they stuffed his face with Kleenex, and they give him these jowly, Don Corleone look. And I remember reading about how, James Caan and De Niro, they weren't that much younger than him. They were only 10 or 12 years younger than him, but they had to portray him looking like their father, so he had to they had to push him up 10 years, or him up 5 years at least, and then back 5 years, or... James Caan, I really liked his performance in that movie too. It was funny because you've seen Misery, obviously.
Yes.
You've seen, Misery.
You said Misery, and I immediately started wiggling my ankles.
Yeah, trust me, it's for the best. But he was the opposite. He played like the opposite personality in that he did in The Godfather, and Sonny in The Godfather, because he was this flamboyant killer guy in Misery, and he had to be pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed to get that totally crazy homicidal thing. He was, most of the movie he was in, complete terror of Kathy Bates, and for a good reason. Yeah, that was a great movie. I think she's a great actress.
Yeah, see, Ferg's sitting back here in the studio with me because it's the warmest part of the house right now, and he just looked at me. He's only hearing my side of the conversation, and I just muted the mic and looked at him and said, "Misery," and he started doing the ankle cringe too.
Yeah. Trust me, it's for the best.
It's for the best.
The other one you remember, Dolores Claiborne? That was an awesome movie. That was an incredible movie. That last scene where the husband is chasing her, and oh man, that was intense. That was a really good movie for anybody.
Well, Ferg has a trick knee. His left knee is no good, and periodically his kneecap just goes wandering around the rest of the middle of his leg, causing great pain. So. With something like that scene from Misery, he actually has a pretty close approximation of the pain involved. Yeah, see, there was the noise. Yeah, he ruined his knee playing football in eighth grade, had surgery, it didn't rehab well, torn meniscus, that kind of stuff. So,
but I'm still one of the fastest boys in Fayette County.
Yeah, okay, thank you. This is not a two-man show, Ferg. Hey, Dave, it's been good talking to you, my friend. We got some good news, by the way, both Isaac and Thomas confirming that an ambulance team did show up at Bill's apartment, and they are taking him to the hospital, much to his consternation.
Oh, good. I'm so glad to hear that. Yeah, well, I'll talk to you soon, Bob.
All right, take care, Dave. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Dave calling from Portland, and I feel much better knowing that he's getting some kind of medical care. And like I said, I will share with you as I learn more. So, Thanks very much. Oh, by the way, for those of you looking for a giggle, you know, the Daily Current is one of those parody websites that wants to be the Onion. I just saw a few minutes ago a lovely post that says Sarah Palin lands in South Korea to attend Nelson Mandela's funeral. I guess that's kind of easy, but still, somehow or another, it was good for a giggle on my part. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's Mark calling.
Hey, Mark, what's happening?
I wanted to thank you. I don't know if you said a second ago your son can't hear our side of the conversation, but you did a good job. You, like many listeners, I don't think we knew for sure what we were listening to for a second. I thought he was actually speaking another language for a second or two, you know, being proud of his German heritage. And but anyway, I thank you for your compassion, and you stayed calm, and you tried to direct him to other human beings, and you did. And I think everybody thanks you for that, and I thank you for that.
Well, Isaac and Thomas did the real heavy lifting, and Thomas is the one who got an ambulance there. So I really don't deserve any accolades out of that.
Well, I think you facilitated and coordinated, and you are dealing with the public, and you know your human aspect kicked in, and you showed. You know what? I think the message that so many young people get is this over machismo. And I was lucky to have had a father that showed a lot of compassion, you know, to children and to animals, and I knew that he'd been a soldier. I think because of my size and stuff that I surprise people with my compassion throughout my life, and I think what you displayed was compassion, and that's what we need to continue to give to each other. And I do feel sorry for Bill. I did send a couple quick emails. I apologize for doing that. No.
There were as soon as people realized there was a problem, the emails started flying in here, and that's a beautiful manifestation of how much people care about Bill. You know, if I may say so myself, it's a beautiful manifestation of the kind, caring, and decent qualities of this little community that we've built, Mark. I mean, let me just put it this way. Can you see the ditto head assholes of the EIB doing that?
They'd be making fun of him. And actually, even if something did happen, they would make fun of that as well. And the callousness, I've been around some pretty callous talking people as to whether they actually were or not. No, I could not answer your question. I could not see them being compassionate, and I think that actually, even this circumstance tonight, really illustrates the difference between our type of Americans and our perception of theirs, and therein lies the divide. And that's why I called. I was going to call your show. I was in the process of calling and listened to the callers, and I just wanted to mention I'm home right now in between projects, and I watched the Mandela, and I just would say from that when I was in Argentina, I read a book. I forget what it was, and I had read about South Africa was the leading producer of chromium and the importance of chromium, and that the Russians were some of the only people that could even come close to competing with South Africa's chromium deposits, I guess with ferrochrome, whatever is considered, but unless those are two separate minerals, I don't know, but I'm just a carpenter. But chromium, from what I read, is one of the only necessary ingredients for the jet engine because of the high torque that's put on the stress of the metal, and the chromium is what keeps it together, so to speak. And that, and of course, for all of the ignorant comments that will continue to be made about our president, it is a competitive world. And as I was waiting to get on the show, I wanted to double check my own perception of facts. What the current concern is that the Chinese are now and have been for the last few years the number one purchaser of their chromium, And the concern was that they're buying it and stockpiling it to, you know, control the market because, you know, they're on the move. Just like some of the articles that we talk about with the pollution industry. And, you know, and that's part of it. And, but that also ties into, you know, to the military production. And then that would bring me to the other observation, considering the military-industrial complex, that when the longshoremen, I guess, in 1990, actually, I guess it starts out watching Democracy Now!, there was a movement amongst Kodak workers, that, you know, Kodachrome, so to speak, and the their affiliation with a South African product, and how those workers decided to boycott, and then that spread to the eventually the longshoremen, which then the local Congress, the United States congressmen, eventually get involved. Dellums is one, but the longshoremen stopped receiving shipments from South Africa to the local tin, is who it was, in California. So one would ask themselves, well, why would South African products be coming to California? So I would think because of its proximity to the Silicon Valley and the military-industrial complex for production there in Texas, that those products were, you know, and, or maybe to Oregon where they're making the jet engines. So you could take a ship full of stuff that's not very heavy and say you're not coming in here, and you're going to shut down a big chunk of their economy. So I would just give a shout-out to what we on the left call concerted action, where Americans pull together for the furtherment of civilization. And to the gentleman that was just on the phone a second ago with you, Bob, I would agree with your observation. It is sad in 2013 that people have to go to you know, industrial warehouses for medical attention, even though the act of the retired dentist is of a compassionate nature. It's really sad that, which brings us to back to myself, back to Bernie Sanders, would also be in favor of nationalized dental coverage. I think we should have Medicare for all, and or single payer. I don't know that I would know the difference, to include dental coverage because of its importance for...
Hallelujah, yes.
Okay, Bob. So.
No, I mean, I'm not cutting you off. I'm agreeing with you in just total agreement. Absolute simpatico on this. And the funny thing is that so many, unless I completely miss this, so many so-called single-payer systems around the world do not include dental care. When in fact, appropriate dental care can be a single preventative for a whole host of illnesses.
You know, why can't Americans look at themselves like we used to? We can do anything better than anybody, or we can be the first at it, or we can take something that pre-exists and be the best at it. And that's what we need to get back to. I don't have a fear of it. Having been a veteran, we had socialized medicine in there, and it wasn't half bad. And actually, the VA, which, you know, the significance...
And the VA will take care of your teeth, right?
No, Bob. And,
no?
And actually, you have to get literally shot in the mouth, in the teeth. You have to have a wound that's mouth related.
Okay, well, let me back up then. When you are active duty,
yes,
there is dental care.
Matter of fact, you'll go to jail if you don't go. You can get administrative charges be brought against you, which is punishment to be 30 days or less if you don't go. And if you miss another dental appointment, you could be hit with a felony or processed out of the service. They look at in the Marine Corps, it's such an expeditionary force that if you are not combat ready, that obligation is upon you. And they're also big on missing movement, but your teeth for Desert Storm, you know, when you show up, anywhere, they check your teeth out, and then you have to go every 90 days or 120 days anyway. But when I showed up for Desert Storm, we all had to get our teeth checked out, and then they called back the selected patient. So I got notification I had to go back. I thought, oh, what's this about? And this big black dentist who had also been activated for the war, this guy was as big as a pro football player. He had the big Omega tattoo on his arm. I'm a pretty stout dude, but this, you know, but I've got a lot of miles on me from running, and this guy looked just like a tackle from West Virginia. And he said, Marine, if you want to go with your unit, that tooth's got to go. I said, all right, sir. And of course, he's an officer and in the Navy, and that tooth did go, and I looked at that as a sacrifice for the love of my country at that point, and still do. It wasn't naive then, nor was it now, but I guess the point is, yes, active duty people do get dental and eye coverage, and it's socialized medicine.
Well, what you say about people being chargeable for not attending appointments, bless his heart, my father learned that the hard way shortly after being put aboard ship in 1943. They sailed on into the South Pacific, and of course he was down in the boiler rooms, and he would get a break, and he'd go topside just to get out, you know, get up above the waterline, see how the other half lived, you know, what the Airedales were doing, that kind of thing. And I guess they were, I don't know, playing volleyball or baseball or something on the flight deck one day, and I'm not as pale as I am as some sort of aberration from my genetics. I come by it honest, I guess is what I'm saying. And my then coming up on 19-year-old father stayed out in the South Pacific sun on the flight deck until he burnt himself beyond being able to function.
Sure.
And they applied some salve and some cream to it, and the next thing he got was called before the mast, and he was told that he had injured government property, to wit himself, by being stupid and taking off his T-shirt, and was given some sort of minimal punishment that he said, I learned right away, never did it twice. I think that's what got him busted back to water tender third class.
Well, of course, I don't know your dad. I know what I saw in there, and there can be some. And I'm not saying that was the case, Bob, but there can be some there can be some Yankee arrogance where they see somebody that may have been perceived as a hard.
Oh no, they had their fun with him. My father had never eaten a shrimp, okay, and the biggest of the attack carriers of the day, the Essex class, and he was aboard the Essex itself, for which the class was named, ate pretty damn good. And he, for weeks, I mean, they have shrimp, boiled shrimp, fried shrimp, shrimp in this, shrimp in that. And he, and they'd look over and say, Ken, can I have your shrimp? You ain't eating your shrimp. And he'd say, I ain't never had it. I ain't gonna start. And he was the guy to sit next to on shrimp night, Mark.
Oh.
Because he'd give it up and give it away. And then one day, I think it was his buddy Archie from Cincinnati, said, Ken, why don't you just try one? Well, not like that. You know how they talk in Cincinnati. Why don't you just try one? And he did. And no, and everybody quit sitting with him because he wouldn't give away shrimp anymore.
I ain't giving that up. And that's one thing about the armed forces experience. If it's handled well by the people that are your commanding officer, the current administration, but and our poor citizens to reflect the other political persuasion, their lack of depth. But the armed forces is really kind of the cutting edge for a lot of our cultural development of whether it's gender or race or technology. Just out of boredom, I signed up on Facebook for the Marine thing, and it comes scrolling past my phone on Facebook, and so I'll hit it and read what that contemporary article would be, and there was a picture of a CH-53, and the very powerful one big single blade, and the Navy has them as well, and. Any case, so I looked at the photograph and then I read a couple of the comments, and so there was like 80 likes and about 8 comments. So I said, well, let's see what the comments were. And some jackass got on there and said that it's something that you refer to the president as in the same way. I forget how he said it, but you do it making fun of them, but the other one is now.
Oh, that one in our White House?
Yeah, essentially with a comment very similar to that one. Letting our choppers be made now, like in Russia or something. And so some actual Marines got on there, and they talked about, that's what the Marines do. They talk about you to your face in third person. And it's kind of cute how they do that, because they learn that trick because they can be insubordinate to an officer without being insubordinate, and it's a way to kind of communicate around ranks. And so one Marine got on there and made a comment and said, and something like, no, these choppers are not being outsourced to their, we are in the fleet, and we, you know, and we know, or something to that effect. And another Marine got on there and said, you know, what is that?
You know what the, you know what made those idiots think they were being made in Russia?
No, I hadn't caught that story, actually.
Because the CH-53 is built by Sikorsky.
Well, and they always have been.
But Mark, that is evidence of the depth of stupidity that inhabits the thin gray settlings between the ears of teabaggers, which passeth for brains. Sikorsky.
Sikorsky. You know, if it's not a Jones or a Smith, Sikorsky. It's a terrorist. And you know, I agree.
I wonder what they think about Grumman.
Right, and what the hell is a Northrop? But you know, the Grumman's got to be another foreign. They like General Electric until they find out it's that Japanese, and Siemens is a German company, right? But you know, it's just it's a lot of propaganda, and it's a lot of shallow knowledge. And
that damn CH-53 will pick up a jet fighter aircraft. God damn.
Yeah, they're pretty stout, and I in the morning, Bob, I listen to 88.5, a station that you would like out of Tampa. It's a progressive radio station. Once in a while, I listen to it. I definitely listen to it on Sunday morning. And they get call-ins, too. It's not called Underground Radio. It's
Pirate.
It's an FM station, but Pirate. You know, it's got a signal that I pick up here in Central Florida from Tampa. I mean, it can boom out, but... Radioactive, I think is what it's called. Something anyway, but 88.5 WMNF, and they had an author who's written a book about the Benghazi situation. I got to listen to it, and that booger nailed so much. He was a civilian, but he had nailed down the information so well to refute all their propaganda. And so I said, I'm forced to call in. When we respond. In any kind of military situation, you never want to take an enemy on one-on-one if you can help it or have the time. So if you figure there was over 100 combatants attacking that villa, which was neither a consulate or an embassy recognized by that host country, just a house and a subdivision, say there were 100 attackers there, even though the number was bigger than that, Bob, you'd want to come with 200 Marines, which would be actually a company. So in order to load 200 Marines, you're going to need...
With gear, with weaponry, with... Yeah.
Right. Water, gear, ammo, communication, men, equipment. And so if you've got 10 helicopters with 20 Marines, you're going to need maybe two or four more choppers. So are these ignorant teabaggers, do they think that Libya was sitting there with, you know, 20 CH-53s ready at the go? And actually, Leon Panetta...
Oh, no. Well, we just teleport them in, Mark.
Well, because we saw it in a
right, yeah, it's
Stallone movie.
Yeah, we just take them over to the transporter room. Mr. Scott fires the thing up, and then you know, bang, there's 15 CH-53s sitting in Tripoli.
Well, you know, and that gets back to your observation about just the name, because the domestic American, he or she doesn't really know their own area very well, let alone their state a lot of times. So. Their buttons are very easily pushed on facts, and then you figure the CH-53, Bob, at top speed, nautical miles, I think it was like a couple hundred miles away. The chopper only goes 160 miles an hour itself, so it's kind of
wide, and that's wide open burning fuel like there's no tomorrow, right?
Right, and then you have to have choppers with the extra fuel bladders, which means you would require more choppers, which push the other Marines onto other birds.
More weight, yeah, yeah.
You're talking.
Do you realize? And I don't necessarily want to open up the can of worms that is whether or not Hillary Clinton should run for president. But do you realize that the right wing is sitting there actively, openly salivating, Mark, at the prospect of Benghazi-ing her to death during the entire 2016 campaign? That's already the established strategy. Hey, Mark, I have to get out of here, though. I really appreciate the conversation, and thank you for your kind solicitude toward Bill. Hopefully he's getting the treatment that he needs. You have yourself a good evening, my friend.
Can I give you a response real quick, and I'll hang up with
sure.
Hillary would say?
Sure.
Hillary would say, what difference does it make, Bob? I'm sorry. What
yeah,
difference?
No, I get it. All right. Mark, have a good night.
All right, brother. Semper Fi. Ciao.
Bye now. And a couple of calls yet. Hey, we haven't been over to the Skype line in a very long time. We got Will from Chicago. Hey, Will.
Hey, Bob. First, glad to hear you. Glad to be here. I've been busy with family matters, including my sister-in-law's dad, who needed someone to drive him for a while to a VA hospital. And hopefully Bill's going to be fine. It's just that this shows one of the strengths of the horn. We are a community. We may come from different places, may have different beliefs or none at all, and yet I think we are bound by common principles, acting in community, treat others with the dignity and compassion that we ask for ourselves, and always be willing to engage.
We may never personally, physically set eyes on each other, but that does not make the community any less real or any less relevant.
Exactly. I mean, quite literally, it is entirely possible that the action of our horn members saved a life tonight or greatly enhanced the quality of a life. So, which brings to mind the old Jewish saying, he who saves a single life is as if he saved an entire world. So I always loved that
because you know what? Yeah. It recognizes the truth that the world resides in every single individual.
Exactly, because consider a person we just lost in our world recently, Nelson Mandela. He, like many people, could have been bitter. He could have called for blood and vengeance. And most of us would have understood that. In fact, I would say most human beings would be tempted to go for vengeance. But based on his principles, wherever their source, he chose to see his enemy as still his brothers. And this is perhaps what infuriates Mandela's legacy among so many people who reject the thought that those different from them can still be part of the same community. In fact, when Newt Gingrich issued a statement praising Mandela, and if I recall the congressional record, he did oppose apartheid in his
And he got savaged. He got savaged for it, Will.
He got treated in such a fashion.
He was a commie.
Yeah, you would think that they were responding to Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren. And again, I think what is important is building communities. We need to build a progressive movement that is broad-based, and I think we see some of that happening, and there's many outlets for discussion. And yes, Bob, here's the inevitable plug for the horn. If you like this community, it definitely can use your support, not just in terms of voice, but whatever amount you're comfortable giving. It doesn't have to be the mega million, a few bucks here or there, a dollar, or even less. I'm sure Bob would be happy to have if 1,000 people chipped in 50 cents right now. You'd be in good shape.
Yeah. We could we'd have fundraising taken care of for 2 or 3 nights.
Yeah, and again, it's all about being willing to build a community. And this is my key criticism of today's GOP. While I respect the rights of the individual and the role of the individual in history, we must also remember there's such a thing as community. People would not have done much of what they did in history.
There is no person in history who has done anything, Will, individually.
Exactly. Even was it Newton who said, when he was praised for being so far-sighted, that if I have seen so far, it is only because I have stood on the backs of giants.
Right. And meanwhile, the teabaggers are standing on the shoulders of morons.
Yeah, well, actually...
I'm sorry, I'm just mean.
Oh, don't worry. In a sense, this would be funny if this was fictional and we were watching a movie and we could see a fake senator from Texas bringing up green eggs and ham. That would actually be a funny scene in a movie. But unfortunately, it happened. So we have to organize. We have to see that the injury of one is the injury of all, that we have to be concerned with the rights of people regardless.
And, you know, that seems to be the hardest thing in the world for us to learn.
It is, because we divide ourselves. For example, I have...
Well, we even divide ourselves within the best of intentions.
Exactly.
Because you have people out there who are actively involved in what they call the environmental movement, or people who are actively involved in the labor movement, or the people who are involved in the women's rights movement, or this movement, or that movement, and we unintentionally keep ourselves from reaching that great weight of momentum moving downhill by constantly living within the within those boxes.
Right, and I hate the fact that we do so. It is to the credit of the GOP that they have something called the conservative movement, where you can tick off five things everyone agrees with. You try to scratch a liberal, a progressive, or a Democrat, and we are still divided. I think we're getting better, but here's the point. If, for example, when I hear those on the right wing are discriminating against women, I take it personally, because I know women. When I see religious minorities such as Muslims being discriminated against, or Wiccans or atheists, and by the way, a good site for everyone to check out is the Military Religious Freedom Foundation.
Mikey Weinstein absolutely
has caught hell from people trying to convert.
MRFF.org.
Yes, definitely worth checking out, because they defend a lot of people, and ironically, most of their clients are Christians who are not seen as Christian enough by those...
Yeah, wrong kind of Christian.
The wrong kind of Christians, the Dominionists and the Christian Reconstructionists who are, how would I say it, probably view The Handmaid's Tale as a how-to book.
Right, it's a manual. Just like Dr. Strangelove is in Catch-22. And
yes, and of course, 1984. But, I mean, good heavens, can we not see that despite the differences of our beliefs, wherever they come from, or the causes, they're all interrelated, because ultimately the environment, labor, religious rights, LGBT rights, are ultimately about ensuring that we have individuals who can be sustained in this world and communities that can be sustained. I think if we try to view it as an issue of sustainability, that we are in this together, that I am the safeguard of your rights and you of mine. That I should be the safeguard of people living in Appalachia who are getting bits of mountains going into their, just as much as they should be the safeguard of kids in Gary, the south side and the west side, dealing with lead paint and the junk the Koch brothers are dumping the ports.
Exactly. Hey, Will, I hate to do it, but I got to run, because I want to try to get one more call in here this evening.
No problem.
But thank you very much for the kind words, and thank you for the wisdom that you always share.
Stay strong.
Gonna try. Thanks. Bye now. Our buddy Will in Chicago, and Ferg is...
Did not mean for that to happen. I was meaning...
Ferg was trying to go to the next caller and pushed the wrong button.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's not a two-man show, buddy.
I feel...
I know. So, apologies. Our sincere apologies. Will in Chicago noting, Ferg, it happens. Maybe this is that person calling back in. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you, Bob?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm doing okay. Little shaky tonight.
You're okay?
Yeah, I just was very upset about Bill.
I know, but it sounds like he's getting appropriate care, yep. And Jug a Punch and Isaac will both keep us posted.
Absolutely. I'm just glad that you were there, or you're here.
No, like I said, all the heavy lifting did not get done by me.
I understand that, but it wouldn't have started at all.
Well, thank you for that.
You're welcome. I did have one thing that's been, like, just gnawing at me, and I just wanted really quick to say how proud I am of Ferg, actually. It's funny that he's here tonight after what happened in his school.
It took a lot of courage, and I will convey that to him because he only hears one side of the conversation right now.
But it's just so sad, too, at the same time, you know?
It is, but the thing is, it again, I go back to that business of stepping outside our comfort zones.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just sad for him, because everything that's happened to him has happened to dozens, if not hundreds, of other students.
I just don't know, like, how they can get away with it.
Because they've insulated themselves in such a way that any challenge is virtually impossible to be proven. I mean, if you're caught recording something with a cell phone in school, well, the answer is to simply throw you.